Thanks for joining me on another We Are Not Alone. Yeah, that's the name of my new show. No, actually, it's David Twitchell's show. So I was on his show October 6th is when it aired. And I really want to thank him for the opportunity to let me speak my mind. And for one, that he thinks I'm credible enough to, you know, talk about some of the experiences I've had and also the people I've had on my show. So I believe, you know, there are some people with some pretty interesting credentials that have talked about some strange events with UFOs. But his show is pretty much about UFOs. If you've never gone to his website, I think it's really worth checking out because he talks to all the big names and just about anybody. And David's just a good guy. That's what I like about him. So we're going to continue with the second part of this one-hour segment. I broke it up into two half-hours. I believe I was talking about, we were both talking about credible witnesses, police officers, military people like that. That's where we kind of left off with the last part of our conversation.
You know, and it's got to be difficult for a police officer to step forward because they have to serve in the community. And when your credibility... When you don't have credibility, pretty hard to enforce the law, I would think, and even maybe hold a job.
Right.
And there's a woman I just talked to recently, did an interview with. Her name is Ingrid Dean. She's out of Traverse City, and she wrote a book called Spirit of the Badge. And her website is spiritofthebadge.com if anybody's interested in that. But the book doesn't have a lot to do with UFOs, but there are some bizarre encounters. Some of it's just really wonderful stories. It really humanizes police officers from all over the state and even outside the state. But there is a couple of stories, and one that stands out in mind was a police officer, I think it was down in the Detroit area, that was called to a scene of an investigation of a woman claiming to have seen something in her backyard, and she thought it was a UFO. And when he got there, he was kind of, you know, I think he reluctantly wanted to go on this case because maybe his shift was getting towards an end and he probably didn't want to do this and now I got to deal with that. And and he got there and he went in the backyard and he saw this craft and they were just amazed by it. And the neighbor happened to come over and he had a camera and he went and got his camera and they took a picture. And again, a lot of times those things aren't real clear, but it does show you something in the sky. But again, here's this police officer that was willing to put his neck on the line and even do so in this book that she wrote, which is going to be out soon, called Spirit of the Badge. And that just tells me that people have seen many things and they're not afraid. Maybe they're getting more and more brave to speak about these kind of things because more and more people come out about it.
Yeah,
more accepted.
Yeah, that's right. The more people that do come out about it, the more people will, because they feel, well, if this guy can tell his story, I've seen the same thing, I can tell mine. You know what I'm saying?
Now, you said you saw just that one in 62? Is that
right?
The one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only one I've seen. I mean, I've seen lights in the sky before, but they can be anything. But I'm talking about an object that was 200 feet over my head, and after emerging through a pinhole in a clear night sky, I would say this was a craft with huge...
You said it like opened up a doorway.
Yeah.
Like the sky opened?
The sky opened. You hear that phrase in the Bible, the sky opened.
Because that's exactly when I heard this story about this police officer in Spirit of the Badge, I believe he described it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I remembered you saying that as well.
Right.
Is that, I don't know if it's just opening up some kind of bending time and space, or...
I believe it is. I believe it is come through a wormhole. I believe that's how they get here. You know, the science says, well, they can't come here from there because all of these asteroids would tear them up and, you know. Well, what if they avoided that?
David, have you heard anything about this experiment that's going on right now? Somebody was telling me about this the other day.
What's that?
Scientists are trying to create a wormhole right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are.
And there were some fears that they might open up something they can't close.
Right. Now, are you talking about the collider?
I don't know. Somebody was just mentioning it to me in passing, and I live up here, so I don't hear a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I said, really? Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that called?
Oh, the... Hardened Collider?
The Hardened Collider.
Yeah, it's in... they tried it, but it... they tried it, and there's a big furor about it because they're trying to... Atom Smasher.
Right.
Okay? And people were so afraid. Well, they're trying to find out what prove the Big Bang Theory. Well, what if you blow the whole world up? Oh, boy, everybody wanted to stop it because they were going to blow the whole world up. And scientists came up and said, you know, there's not enough energy there to illuminate light bulbs, even if it did collide, even if it did work. Oh, no, you're going to blow the whole universe up. And they tried it and it didn't work, so they're going back to the drawing board. But
just a matter of time, maybe.
It's a matter of time. I think that the I know I have witnessed that. I have witnessed that kind of harnessing of technology, the harnessing of a law of physics that we know about. We just have not harnessed it yet. Someone has, and it's a matter of time before we harness that too.
Do you think it's possible that maybe the technology exists and we're just not aware of it?
Oh, yeah, it exists.
I mean, even that some within our own government have knowledge of that.
In its infancy, I would say yes, in its infancy. But not to the point that, you know, we can use it in everyday practice, you know.
You know, remember when you sent that that link to me and we talked about Neil Armstrong, his conversation when he was on the moon?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Frank Fascino was telling me, and again, this is, you know, secondhand, but he had done a talk about the Flatwoods Monster, and it was down probably in Virginia, somewhere, West Virginia, and this man came up to him, a very dignified-looking man, who was some kind of research, not a research, but he was involved in astronomy.
Mm-hmm.
And the man identified himself saying that he had an incident when he first started working in his profession, and he was working, he basically was probably a gopher, I would think, when he first started.
Yeah.
And, you know, didn't do a lot, but he was at an observatory, and he was looking through, you know, he'd peek through the telescope, and he had a train down the moon.
Right.
And he'd peek every so often, and one time he saw this cigar-shaped object on the moon, and it appeared to go into a mountain, like a door open, and it just went into it.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to tell somebody, his supervisor, and the supervisor said, "No, no, no, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. Come on, get back to work."
Mm-hmm.
And so he kept looking for that, and he spotted it again, you know, sometime later.
Mm-hmm.
And he grabbed his supervisor by the neck, and he says, "I'm surprised I wasn't fired on the spot." They pulled him over to the telescope and said, "Look, there it is." And the guy looked in it, and he said, "Yeah, we know about that. Now get back to work."
Ha-ha. Uh-huh. Very, very similar to Armstrong on the moon saying, "What are these things?" "Yes, we know about that," says Houston. "We know about that. Go the other way."
Yeah. If I was an astronaut, I think I would. Hopefully they got an astronaut diapers, because I would have
astronaut diapers.
I would have needed to change one, I think.
Because, yeah, I think they do.
That's that. How could that? You know, you're so far from home.
I want to go home.
Yeah, and you're basically on the moon, stuck on the moon. But apparently, whatever it was, obviously could have harmed him if it wanted to. I'm guessing with the
right,
technology.
Right, right.
So maybe. I mean, how do you go to sleep that night knowing that's out there?
Well, I think I always say if they wanted to harm us, they would have done so a long time ago.
Absolutely.
So once he saw him out there, he was just amazed. And once he realized they weren't going to harm him, you know, well, we didn't get hurt, and I don't think they're going to hurt us. So.
Now, this might be a little more out there. That's the name of my show.
I was going to say, is that a plug or what? Go ahead.
Which is on the website if you go to outthere.podbean.com.
Yeah, tell us about that now. Podbean.com.
But there's a woman I've talked to many times. She is a researcher. She does, well, she does UFO / Bigfoot phenomena. I don't know if you've ever heard anything about this. I don't even know if we've talked about this before. She's talked to many different eyewitnesses over the years. And she's even seen UFOs and had missing time when she lived down in Texas. Her and her mother, mm-hmm. I've talked to both of them. But she feels there are many people that have seen, if you want to call it Sasquatch or whatever, a hairy critter near these things. Right. Some have even seen them inside these things.
Okay.
Or coming out of them, or near the light of one. And she's put together some kind of connection. And to me, okay, there's another phenomena that, till I talked to her, I had no clue that there were many eyewitnesses seeing this thing.
Hmm.
And you've never come across that?
I don't recall if I have.
Okay.
Okay. Are you able to say this woman's name?
Her name is Lisa Scheel.
I know Lisa Scheel.
Oh, you do?
She's a MUFON member.
Yep, she's a MUFON member. And
she used to be our chief investigator for a while.
And I don't know if she's still involved with that.
Not as much, no. She's got her own thing going, but she's certainly involved with the paranormal and Bigfoot and UFOs.
You don't probably talk about Bigfoot too much on your program?
No, not really, because that's a cryptozoology thing. I think there's probably something out there, some kind of a mammal. I don't know why they have to romanticize it so much, and it just couldn't be. we couldn't be, for goodness sake, but here we are. So.
Yes. So. And if there is any truth to what Lisa has uncovered,
mm-hmm.
what is the connection to another life from another planet? You know, why are they coming here and giving these guys a ride? I'll take a ride.
Yeah, right. I think there's the whole universe is just, I know the whole universe is teeming with life. We didn't think that there was life down where the Titanic is lying.
Right.
But there is, and in volcanic vents. Where
yep, even down in the deep depths of the ocean, as they're able to get further down.
Mm-hmm.
I watch those programs as well, and you can see that there's always some kind of life down there. So it just, right. it's surprising, and we don't have answers to everything, and we think that we do with our science, but 100 years from now, people are going to laugh at us.
That's exactly.
They're going to look at us and say, they believe what back then?
That's exactly what I said in my books, yeah.
And they're also going to say, how did they treat disease back then?
How barbaric.
I don't know, did you ever watch, were you much of a fan of Star Trek?
Yeah.
I remember this one line from Bones when he said, they went to this culture that was similar to like we are now, and they were treating somebody that had some kind of illness, and he goes, how barbaric.
Yeah.
Get over here.
That's right.
He ran his little, I don't know what they call it, a tricorder or something over the guy, and the guy was healed right away.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, you don't do that. You don't give him shots. You don't take pills.
Right.
So who knows what this, I believe, will advance, or someday, maybe not right away, because the technology takes a stumble because we tend to destroy ourselves.
Yeah.
So a lot of this could come crumbling down, but if we continue to go on a path where we can explore, there will come a day. Look how many things from Star Trek seem to already be coming forward.
Oh, they are, yes. Yes, indeed.
Isn't that a weird coincidence that show, written by Gene Roddenberry, a lot of things, where did he come up with all that?
Imagination, and that's where all of our inventions come from, is our imagination.
And then some of the things on that show are being used today.
Yes.
So did that show inspire these things, or were these things going to come along to begin with?
I think a little bit of both. I think, depends on what we're talking about. I think a little bit of both.
When it comes time to the beaming part?
Yeah, beam me up, Scott. Beam me up.
I'll let somebody else test that first.
Right. I don't want my atoms to be floating around forever.
I don't want my head down where my behind is.
Yeah, right.
And my, vice versa.
Vice versa.
That, although some might say that's an improvement, but I don't think that's a good idea.
And not a good idea.
So, I did talk to a couple, one of my early shows on, probably one of the most interesting conversations I had about UFO phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the whole show wasn't about that, but the woman had a very unique experience, and it was kind of corroborated by her husband, because she was lying in bed. He woke up in the middle of the night. She wasn't there. And he went and just laid on the couch. Now, I don't know what he thought happened to her, but apparently he wasn't too worried. He just went and, I don't know, couldn't sleep, and he laid on the couch. When she came back from her abduction, if you want to call it that,
mm-hmm.
he was no longer in bed. So both their stories, unless they're both making this up, but they're not, you know, they didn't come to me to tell this story to get on my show. I pretty much had to drag them on there to get them to talk about it. But she claims she was taken aboard the ship, and they treated her really, really well. And they kept wanting to know if she wanted to sleep or if she wanted to eat. They were asking her questions about her concerns with the world. And I think this was around the time of maybe the Gulf War or shortly after,
mm-hmm.
and what was going on in the world.
Right.
And then she said they showed her a view out the window of what their planet looked like. At least that's what she thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how could you see, you know, out the window to their planet, you know, if you're looking out of their ship? And she said, well, it's just like a projection they were showing me.
Right, right.
Of what their planet looked like and how different it was from ours.
Hmm.
And then before she knew it, and she was awake the whole time, she said, she was placed back in her bed, and that's when she noticed her husband wasn't there.
Hmm.
And then she went screaming at him, how come you're not here while I'm being abducted? Although she didn't say it as an abduction.
Right.
I think a lot of people, you know, the reports I've read about people that have had that happen to them are very frightened. This, to her, was a very exciting thing and a very positive experience.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Where so many are frightening, nightmarish events. And another thing I was going to say earlier was, you know, we're talking about the possibility of it being sleep paralysis in her case, in your case, in so many cases. One thing we were discussing is the fact that a lot of them, like 30% of these cases, happen while people are driving their cars, where people are at work, where people are out hunting, fishing, wide awake.
Yes, and they remember, in her case, she remembers, now in my case, I don't. She remembers being awake the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being awake for a short period. And again, if this is sleep paralysis, would I remember it the next day?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think so. I've never had a dream. I might remember bits and pieces, but to this day, it's still very clear, David. I remember what happened, and I can remember the feeling I had. And there aren't many dreams in my life that I could say that about.
All right.
And again, I mean, maybe I hit the sauce that night, and I don't remember.
I don't know.
And I had a wild dream or something, huh?
So, you mentioned Lisa Scheel, and she's up in the UP. You're up in the UP. Are there a lot of UFO activity up in the UP?
I think there is. I think there's an abundance of it up here. Oh. Maybe because it's more remote.
Or is it just the case that people see them because the sky is clear, more clear than it is down here in the Detroit-Dearborn area?
Well, certainly there could be any theory that's true, but I would think they'd probably avoid populated areas.
Mm. Yes and no. Now, have you seen Bud Hopkins' book, Witnessed?
I haven't read it, but okay. I know what the book you're talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about a UFO that comes down over the Brooklyn Bridge in downtown New York.
Right.
You know. And
yeah, that's true. And how do they make people, it almost like they seem they have the ability to make people not see it.
Yeah.
Only the ones that they want to see it.
Only the ones they want to see it. And that's another thing. One of his books is Sight Unseen, where one person sees it, the other person doesn't. And other cases where they're in infrared or ultraviolet light, and they could be there. You can record. I've seen many pictures of UFOs that taken with the same area, the same time, where one is a regular camera and the other has infrared on it, and you can see a UFO in the infrared.
Hmm.
Now, it's possible, you know, well, the skeptics say if UFOs exist, the skies should be full of them. Maybe the skies are full of them, but they're in ultraviolet, they're in infrared, and we can't see them.
Right. And then again, when people do see them over a major city, how come only so many and not, you know, not a hundreds of thousands of people? So again, I think part of it too is my experience and others that I've read about is that they can put a thought in your head. You either see them or you don't.
Right. And well, I'm sure.
I think they're very advanced, at least the Greys. I mean, there's probably more than one, you know. But the Greys are very advanced with their knowledge, and they know how to use the brain. They probably use 90% of it, while we use, what, 10%?
Yeah.
They probably get together and laugh at the little 10%ers down at the planet.
The 10%ers.
When they can start using at least 12% down there.
then again, maybe it's like this, what was a police officer or a military man you're referring to that, you know, you didn't see anything, neither did I.
Right.
You know, and so maybe those who actually did see it deny seeing it.
Yep. I think there's a lot of that, too. And, you know, like with my experiences, I denied them for a long time. Just because I didn't want to sound like an idiot and say, well, I think I definitely saw something. And so, but as you re-examine it years later and you go back and you look at it, you start to realize that you certainly could have had an experience. Don't rule it out. Maybe don't rule that it completely is, but keep an open mind.
Right. And you say other people in your family have had experiences.
Yeah, isn't it weird? My son, my wife, my mother-in-law. Yeah. My mom, when she was alive, claimed to have seen something, but I really didn't find out too much about that.
And you know, they say that the abduction phenomenon runs in family circles.
So you think I've been taken?
I didn't say that, did I?
Does that explain some things?
All I said was...
At least I wasn't rejected.
I was. I believe I was taken, and they said, we'll let him do a radio show.
We're going to send him back down.
We'll send him back down.
Find a better specimen.
Yeah.
He's only using 8% of his brain.
Right, that was it.
He's good for radio, though.
He's good for radio. He's,
so am I, though.
Now, I was going to say, me? You should know.
Why would they take me, then? They probably sent me back down. Now, let's wait till he has a son. Maybe that'll be better.
It'd be like Forrest Gump, the moron, and his son was a genius, you know? So, anyway, where can we go to find out more about out there? Out there, out there.
Out there, if you... just type in, and do not type in www, just type in out there, that's one word, outthere, dot podbean, that's podbean, .com. And if you type in those, it'll take you right to my site. I'm also linked to the Braver Institute, which is www.braverinstitute.com. I'm linked to a lot of other sites as well, but that's probably the easiest way to get to it.
Okay, I suppose we can Google T.J. Ryan, R-Y-A-N?
Yeah, you could try. I don't know if it'll show up, but...
You've never Googled yourself?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
yeah.
All Google.
There's a lot of other T.J. Ryans in there.
Ah.
So if you Google out there, you might be able... But there's a lot of out there. So that's a popular name. I wish I'd have chosen a different name.
Nah. T.J. Ryan out there. Or, once again, out there...
Not Podbean.
Podbean.com.
And if somebody, if any of your listeners, do you have a lot of interaction with them?
Somewhat, but not.
Anybody's ever interested in telling a story and wants to keep it confidential but still wants to share a story, I'm very game for that. I like to interview famous people like David Twitchell.
Right. Tell them.
Just people that are just average folks that have seen something, because I don't think there's enough people doing that.
T.J. Ryan, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope we can do this again sometime.
I thank you. It's an honor to be on your show.
Why, thank you. And if you have any questions or comments for me, You can email me at dtwitchell@hotmail.com. This show, as well as the other forum shows, is now archived at whfr.fm's website. Click on the forum button on the homepage. We Are Not Alone is also archived at my website, ufoimplications.com. That's ufoimplications.com. Stay tuned to whfr.fm, the station making waves, for the best in alternative programming. And I want to thank you for joining us today. Please join us again the first Tuesday of each month at 1 p.m. Remember the time change, Tuesday at 1 p.m. And we will again explore the mysteries of the UFO phenomenon. Until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.